STS is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot gone.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
FDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, 4th of November. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm getting more excited by the day.
I know. I am, too.
I mean, you look at what's going on out there. You look at some of these races in what are considered swing states, and it's all swinging our way.
Yes, it is, and that is terrific news.
Tuesday night, the big election, folks, will tell you right off the bat. Diane and I, Tuesday night, will be here at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we will start our coverage of the election, and the election results will stay on the air until it's over. And, Diane, we have done this time and time and time again.
And the one thing about us, folks, if you go back through past shows, we have always called the races before the main networks have. And you know, we have gotten every single one of them right.
We expect that it's going to be a long night. We expect some places like Pennsylvania may not finish counting their votes until early next year. But we're not going to stay on until they're done.
No. Right now we say 7 to midnight, but if we have to go longer, we will.
We will. We've done it before.
Oh, yeah. We did it in 16.
Yes, we did. That was a marathon.
Yeah, that was hard. And in 2020, unfortunately, folks, we called Trump's loss before the networks did.
Yeah, but there's so much Mickey Mousing around in that thing with votes disappearing from tally boards and all sorts of things. It was almost impossible to keep track of what was happening. And I don't think to this day we know exactly what happened in some places.
Well, we were able to call it based on the North Florida counties.
Right.
Remember that when we went county by county? We do it a little different than the talking heads do it. We actually go into individual counties, and not just the counties where the main population is, but a state's entire county makeup.
Right.
Because what they do, what they forget to do really, is they forget to add them all up. They might take an individual county, let's say where Las Vegas is. That's where most of the people in Nevada live. But if you add up all the other counties, you could, and I'm not saying you do it, because Nevada, I'm just making that up here, could add up more than the main population center.
Right.
And we took the time to do that, which the others don't do.
Clark County, that's Nevada's Las Vegas area.
Okay.
And, we look at it and we figure it out, and we don't have a staff. We just got to sit here and count on our fingers and toes, but we get the job done. So that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We know where to look. Certain areas you really don't have to look at because you know how they're going to go.
Right.
And we'll talk about that more on Tuesday. Like, Chicago's inner city is going to go Democrat no matter what you do.
Yep.
So we know how to eliminate and really delve into the important areas. I mean, I'm going to call right now Florida, Governor DeSantis, Marco Rubio.
Oh, yeah. That's a given at this point. That's a given. Yeah. Folks, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Why don't we start with that god-awful speech that Joe Biden gave a couple of nights ago?
Do we have to?
Well, I think we do, you know, because they sprung that on everybody Wednesday morning. They said, you know, tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern time, Biden's going to give a speech to the nation. And it smacked of desperation from the minute they said he's going to speak. And it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. All he kept talking about was how we, the Republicans, are going to destroy our democracy. And what the Democrats, including, you know, the hierarchy, forget. They keep repeating the word democracy over and over and over. America is not a democracy. We are a republic. We are a constitutional republic. That's how our founders and framers set us up today. My foot hit the back of the chair. We were set up to be one way, not to be another. Remember, Thomas Jefferson said, democracy is basically mob rule. It's 51% of the population mandated to 49% of the population. I paraphrase here, folks. And the sooner our politicians understand the basis of what America is, the better off we'll all be. Every time I hear the word democracy, I just want to pull my hair out.
Well, you're operating on a delusion, okay? I hate to tell you this, but you are. They know damn well that this is a constitutional republic. These liberals know it damn well. Okay, when they refer to us as a democracy, what they're actually doing is referring to us as a Soviet-style democracy.
Well, I think you're a bit delusional there, because Soviets don't have a democracy.
Exactly. That's exactly the point, Diane. But you have to remember that from the time of the 1917 revolution in Russia, they referred to themselves as a democracy. You notice I say a Soviet style democracy, not a Soviet democracy, Soviet style democracy. And in the Soviet Union, and it was the same in North Vietnam, it's the same in North Korea, you pick just about any communist nation you care to pick, they refer to themselves as a democracy. But if you don't vote their way, you suddenly disappear. You know, I mean, that's what they're doing. See, now what Biden did, I'm not going to get hung up in that. You're right. You're 100% right. We're a constitutional republic. But for the sake of this segment, we got to talk about the speech itself, not one word in the speech. And
well, that was the basis of his speech. That was really what he was trying to push through, that we on the right are a threat to America's democracy. He kept repeating it throughout his whole speech. He said democracy itself is at stake. Really, Joe? How could something we're not be at stake?
Okay, so we're not a democracy. We've established that. Okay? We're not. We're a constitutional republic. And as I've said, I agree with you 100%. However, what Biden was saying is that basically, if we don't vote the way he tells us to vote, the way the liberals in power tell us to vote, democracy will end. Well, isn't that in and of itself not a democracy? I mean, if you're telling people you vote as we tell you to vote, then even if we were a democracy, that wouldn't be a democracy. That would be authoritarian. it's just so hypocritical, you know.
Well, basically, his speech simply was a very poor closing argument for Democrats who are going to lose because they never stayed focused on the issues.
Right. There was not one single word in there about the economy, not one word in there about inflation, about the price of gas, about the price of groceries, not one word in there about crime and skyrocketing crime levels. You choose the top of mind to the voters' topics, and he didn't talk about one single one of them. Not one.
No. But he did spend time saying that the U.S. Capitol is a citadel of democracy. I wish I had counted the amount of times he said democracy. Unfortunately, okay. I didn't count those amount of times.
I'm kind of glad you didn't at this point, because that would take up the entire show reading that large of a number. I swear to God.
The best part of the speech, though, Craig, for us here in South Florida, when it came on, I was flipping around just to see who carried it. And, of course, Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN carried it. But our local South Florida affiliates, the ABC, NBC, and ABC affiliates, did not carry it. They kept Wheel of Fortune on and Jeopardy and whatever the other stations carry. They didn't carry it.
And that's a sign right there that they're flailing about.
Yes.
The Liberal Party is flailing about. If they can't even get the local affiliates to carry a speech, a matter of 6 days away from a major election, they've given up, you know?
Well, you know, one of the things that I absolutely laughed at, this election is turning out to be one of the highest voting elections. More people are voting in this midterm than probably in any previous midterms. And Biden is standing up at the podium saying, there's no place for voter intimidation. Well, if the people are turning out in record numbers, where is the voter intimidation?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, but, oh, yeah, I mean, voter intimidation, democracy is going to fail if these Republicans, these MAGA Republicans, you know, win, and I mean, just all sorts of doom and gloom and you know, but I'll tell you what, I've got a theory about that speech. To me, Biden looks scared to death. He looked paranoid, and obviously he was desperate. Okay. And that's aside from being medicated.
He looked heavily drugged, yes.
You know, they got to pump him full of something to keep him upright past his bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that much was obvious. But he looked paranoid, he looked scared, he looked desperate. I think the DNC, and probably Obama, got a hold of him ahead of that speech, and I mean like a day ahead of it, and said, Joe, if you don't find some way to turn this thing around so that we don't lose the House and we don't lose the Senate, you're finished. You're done. Now, does that mean they're going to use the 25th Amendment? Maybe. But it certainly means they're not going to put him up as a candidate in 2024. And I think he's looking at that, and I think his wife, Dr. Jill, I think she probably told him, you march your ass right out there and you give the speech of your life, because if we lose this thing, I won't be the first lady anymore and I'll never speak to you again.
Well, you know what? Let's say they 25th Amendment him out. And then, you know, we get Kamala. She'll have to get off her knees for a while and actually sit at the desk. It'll still be Obama in charge.
Right. Nothing will change.
There'll be no change. All the policies that Joe Biden is initiating and has initiated, they are Obama's policies.
Right.
And all the delusions are Obama's delusions as well. For example, today the job numbers came up and they were a little bit higher than was expected. However, It makes no sense. How can the job numbers go up when the unemployment rose?
Well, I mean, job numbers.
Part-time jobs is the only answer.
That's got to be a big part of it, you know? And unemployment went up because more people filed for unemployment.
Right. And but yet more people went to work. Do you really believe that?
No, it's kind of an oxymoron in a way.
Right.
You know, when you look at those numbers and those figures, it's a head scratcher. Right? You know, how can they both go up, you know, at the same time? And like you say, it's got to be a lot of part-time jobs.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's not good. Let's put it that way. And you look at top economists, and they're saying we're in for a long, hard slog because this inflation isn't going to go away no matter what those job numbers turned out to be this time around.
Exactly.
Now, I can tell you what another part of those job numbers are. I'm willing to bet that a lot of those are temporary positions for Christmas.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, temporary retail sales positions.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Job numbers usually do go up at this time of the year, and then come January 2nd, they start going back down again.
And as far as more people applying for unemployment, former Twitter employees probably.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
You know? But, you know, now here's the other part of my theory, okay? Let's say they use the 25th Amendment. That puts, as you said, Kamala Harris in the driver's seat, you know, figuratively and not literally, because Obama's doing the steering.
Right.
Okay. But then they're going to pick somebody to be her vice president, and that person is who they'll run in 2024. Look for Vice President Gavin Newsom.
I don't think they'll do Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom actually killed any chance of him being taken seriously when he said he has no problem passing a law that you could abort a baby up to a month after it's born.
Okay.
I think he killed his whole campaign.
Taken seriously by who exactly, Diane? By the lunatic left? They think that's great.
A lot of them do. But a lot of them don't. Yes, they support the right to abortion, but they don't support the right to infanticide. You kill a baby after it's born, that's not abortion, that's infanticide. And I think a number of liberals have spoken out against that. So I think Newsom overstepped his bounds a little bit here.
Maybe.
And he'd have to work real hard to get back, let's say, in the good graces of actually running for president.
Okay, but again, delusional, because you're assuming the liberals will find somebody with common sense to put up for 2024, and I don't actually believe they can.
And please stop calling me delusional, okay?
I'm just saying, but you're not the only one that's saying that. And you know, all I'm saying is they're not going to find somebody with common sense. They're not going to find somebody middle of the road. I mean, no way are the liberals at this point going to find somebody middle of the road. That's not what their platform's built on.
No, they're not going to find somebody middle of the road, but they're going to find somebody that's more palatable. There's a difference between middle of the road and palatable. What they're going to have to do in 2024 is get back the Democrats they're losing at the midterm. And a candidate like Gavin Newsom is not the right person to bring those people back in line. They need a more moderate Democrat, but a moderate that leans to the left. Someone a little more palatable across the board. And it's not Gavin Newsom, because the opposition, you destroyed your state of California. People are leaving your state by the thousands a day. And you think you're going to be president? No, they've got to find somebody a little more, at least on the surface, middle of the road.
And I don't think that person exists on the left. I just don't. I mean, when it comes, I mean, I'm sure there are voters out there that are more middle of the road. I know there are. Okay. But when it comes to who they're going to run in 2024, they are absolutely welded to that radical agenda. And if they're going to try and pick somebody middle of the road, they're going to have to ditch that agenda. And I don't see that happening, period. I just don't.
You know who they can try to run? They can try to run Joe Manchin.
They're not going to run him. They don't like him enough. And he's too soft for them.
What, are they going to run an idiot like AOC? That's not going to happen.
Well, it won't be AOC, but it will be an idiot like AOC. I mean, you know, because they're turning on her now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. In fact, her own district is turning on her. But maybe not enough to get her out, but they're turning on her. The whole thing with this speech, this was a last-ditch attempt. And when this speech failed, and basically it has failed, today they bring in who they consider the big gun, Oprah Winfrey, endorse Fetterman. Do you think anyone gives a crap about Oprah Winfrey anymore?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she's got fans out there, but she's not going to switch anybody's vote by coming out and saying, well, you know, I've decided, I mean, even though I know Dr. Oz personally and have known him for decades, I'm going to endorse John Fetterman. I mean, nobody's going to go, oh, well, I was going to vote for Oz, but now that Oprah says Fetterman, I mean, nobody's going to do that.
Exactly. Wasting.
Talk about delusional. You know, I mean, she's got delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, I mean, these Democrats have totally and completely lost their minds. They really don't know what they're doing anymore.
They're just floundering about, and it's almost funny to watch. But Biden's speech, it was nothing but BS on a stick.
Yeah. He actually looked psychotic. He didn't focus his eyes. He was drugged, heavily drugged.
Eyes were darting around.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't focusing on anything that they should have been focusing on.
Well, his whole speech was unfocused, not just his eyes. You know, I mean, he missed every major topic people care about. Now, switching topics altogether right now, let's talk about what happened over in Israel a couple of nights ago. Now, we were talking about it on Tuesday night on this show because Tuesday night was Israel's big election. And we said Tuesday night that all the indicators were that Bibi was going to pull this off and become the prime minister again. And what happened?
He not only pulled it off, but he pulled it off with the highest number of seats in recent memory for a given party. He only needed to reach 60 seats to get the prime minister position, 61 seats so that the Arab party couldn't sort of throw a wrench in the government he's forming, but he actually reached 64 seats.
And that's, and you think, well, 61, 64 is not that big a difference. Matters. Let me tell you, over there, it's huge.
It's huge because the parties have to work together. It's not Democrat, Republican. There are many different parties. And you have to form a coalition so that you take ideas from all the different parties. It's not just one thing straight down the line. It's got some pluses. It's also got some negatives. But Bibi Netanyahu, I'm sorry, is the world's last great statesman, in my opinion. This man has done more to keep the Middle East stable than any other prime minister of Israel, any president of the United States. When President Trump became president, he and Bibi had been friends for decades. We then saw the U.S. and Israel working together, and what did we get out of it? the Abraham Accords.
And those Abraham Accords were coming fast and furious until the day the 2020 election was stolen.
Right.
And that has stagnated. But Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, I love saying that.
I know.
He's saying, hey, we're going to get back to that, and we're going to finish what we started. You know, for those out there who think, well, you know, 61, 64, not that big a difference. Let me tell you something. When it comes to having a majority and a coalition government, which is what Israel has to have by Israeli law.
Right.
The election this past Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, was their fifth election in 4 years. So, and that's really because they could not form a solid coalition.
Right. But he already has the coalition.
Right.
By getting the 64 seats, he has the coalition. The government will be formed. And yes, there's been some, you know, Biden is not happy with this, folks.
That's because Obama's
because
not happy.
He's very pro-Palestinian. So he's not happy with this. But you know what? Once we take back the House and the Senate, he's really not going to have a lot of say.
Now, here's an idea. Once we get the House and the Senate back, why don't we have the new House Speaker pick up the phone, call Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and invite him over for a joint session of Congress? Because
I think that would be fantastic.
If I'm counting right, that would make him the world leader to address a joint session of Congress more times than any other.
Right. Right now he's tied with Winston Churchill. Yeah. Yeah, that would be amazing because, you know, there are serious problems now in that area, guys. Russia has aligned with Iran. They are using drones and other weapons given to them from Iran. Israel has tried to stay out of the Russia-Ukraine issue. However, they, you know, lean more towards Ukraine. They're going to supply Ukraine with some things. But Netanyahu was able to make peace with Putin. It's a very delicate situation.
Oh, yeah.
And you need someone like him who can work both sides if they're going to end this thing.
You know, if there's any chance for diplomacy in that whole war, it's going to come from Benjamin Netanyahu. It won't come from Biden. He's not capable.
No, God, no.
And our State Department certainly isn't capable right now.
Biden needs to cover, you know, he needs Ukraine to lose or he's in big doo-doo.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff under a carpet that might get exposed.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's really what that comes down
Why
to.
Why do you think a lot of our equipment we promised is going on the slow train there?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
You know, Burisma guys, don't forget that.
Oh, you know, I mean, look, yeah, again, if we start adding up all the reasons why he's slow walking aid to Ukraine, we'll be here all night.
I know. But the name that everybody is pretty familiar with is Burisma, so.
Right, that's true. That's true. But yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister again. When does he take the seat? Do we know?
I believe it's pretty shortly, maybe a matter of a few weeks.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And that's going to be a very interesting day.
When he's
back in charge over there. You know, there for a while, for a little while, I wasn't sure who Israel thought they were. I think they were trying to do their impression of the British going through prime ministers like a revolving door.
I know. But the thing was, Bibi would have won the last election if that phony, you know, litany of charges wasn't leveled.
Well, and that's about the same thing as what they, you know, did to Trump. They phonied up and manufactured a whole bunch
right.
of crap, and that's going to go away now too. So
absolutely,
be the end
absolutely.
Of that crap. So congratulations to Prime Minister Netanyahu. We know he listens to our show.
We know certain people in Israel do, that's for sure.
We know certain people in the Middle East do.
Yes.
we are thrilled. We are absolutely thrilled. Get our Congress back in the right hands and make the big switch in 2024. And I think you're going to see a real expansion of stability in that region.
I think so as well.
Going to be
fantastic.
And that's
a good thing, folks.
We made it to the bottom of the hour. That means we've got one little segment left, half an hour's worth. We're going to take a break. We're going to get a couple of station IDs in. And when we come back, it's all about Tuesday's upcoming election. We're going to make some predictions. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about some of the races. We're going to talk about some of the floundering that's been going on the left side of the aisle and all sorts of things coming up right after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com. Tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and automatically you become a pod person with all of our shows there, including this one, to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell people a little behind the scenes. During the break, Diane and I were chit-chatting back and forth about Benjamin Netanyahu, and all of a sudden I looked at the clock and I went, holy cow, stand by! Because we had like 5 seconds before we came back on the air. We got all caught up in our conversation. All right, so we've got an election coming up. I don't know if anybody's heard about it. It's going to be Tuesday, November 8th. It's really kind of flown under the radar. Nobody's really paying attention to it. Diane, we're looking at what we're calling the red wave coming.
Yes, we are. And I do think we're going to take back both the House and the Senate. I think the Senate will be, you know, a close call, but I think we'll pull it off. But I think we're going to cream them in the House. And remember, folks, the House is where the money comes from.
That's where the purse strings are held.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the Senate a little bit. You're thinking it's going to be a close call. Maybe a little bit closer than I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
How many seats do you think we'll wind up with in the Senate? If you were in the predicting mode, what would you say?
52, possibly 53.
I'm going to go 54, 55.
Okay. I hope you're right. I really hope you're right, because then that makes us Rhino proof.
Well, it makes us M&M proof anyway. Yeah. Mitch and Mitt.
Yeah.
You know, I look at some of these Senate races that, you know, and really, can you trust the polling at this point? You know, some of the polling is good. Some of it is obviously not good. And one thing we know this year is there's a lot of people voting red that won't even talk to pollsters.
Yeah. And those people are usually the Democrats. They don't want it known that they're not voting for their own candidates. And how I kind of suspect that here, South Florida is predominantly blue. However, in the past few elections, it's turned more and more red. The state of Florida is a solid red. DeSantis is right on the cusp of winning Dade County, which would be remarkable because that is Florida's sort of bastion of liberalism.
Yeah, Dade County is typically really deep blue, right?
Blue. And it seems like he's going to win it, which is amazing. And what that shows, as I was going through today when I was bike riding, I don't live in Dade County, folks, but as I was going through my neighborhood, I noticed there were DeSantis signs up. There was two Chris signs up.
Two.
And there's a lot of Democrats in here, and I'm really believing that they don't want their party elite to know that they're not voting Democrat this election.
Well, you know, Charlie Crist was on one of the Fox News programs yesterday afternoon, I think it was. And he was talking about, I mean, he was saying he still thinks he has a really good shot at beating Ron DeSantis. And they said, well, you know, in most of the polls, you're down by double digits. He said, well, we got a poll in the other day, and we were up by 8 points. And I'm thinking, who in the hell are you talking to, buddy?
Yeah, no, there's not even a chance. DeSantis is double digits ahead of him, and I actually predict that come Election Day, Ron DeSantis is going to win the governorship by the largest amount ever.
If you had to put a point total on it, what do you think, 12, 15 points, somewhere in that range?
Right now, he's about 11 or 12. I will go as high as saying between 15 and 20.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that runs out. Now, speaking of Florida, Marco Rubio, he's got a double-digit lead over his challenger.
Yep. And Marco's a great guy. I've known him for years and years and years. And he deserves to be reelected. What a lot of people don't know, he's the head. Well, he was the head of the Foreign Intelligence Committee. Now he's the vice head because they do the rotating and whatever. And this man is so astute in foreign affairs, especially he came out with a line that was so good. He said, my parents left the country that Biden and crew are trying to turn this country into.
That's
in other
very
words,
true.
Socialist Cuba style country. He's a very smart man. He's a very decent, honorable man, and he deserves to be reelected. And as far as Ron DeSantis, that man, whether it's in 24 or 28, that man is going to be president of these United States. In the 1 month since Southwest Florida got devastated, if you look at the pictures now compared to 1 month ago, it's absolutely amazing what this man has done. And it's not just building two bridges so the people on the barrier islands could, you know, get off and get on and whatever. What he has done, he can do for this country.
You know, I'm not sure in my lifetime, outside, put a qualifier on it, outside of Ronald Reagan, okay, when Reagan was running for his second term, I can't think of anybody that you can look at this far ahead and say, that's a done deal. But with him, you can. With Ron DeSantis, you can absolutely say that.
Yeah, he is going to be president, and he has something that, for me, is critical in a president. I'm not speaking bad about any past president in this respect, but I think in today's world, it's very critical. I have always believed that our commander-in-chief should have military experience.
Right.
Ron DeSantis was a Navy SEAL and a JAG lawyer. He has seen, he was in Iraq, he has seen what war is. And I think if you're going to be commander-in-chief, I think every U.S. president should have some form of military service. I'm not saying bad about any that didn't, but I'm saying from this point on, when you have megalomaniac nuts like Putin running around and Xi from China and Kim Jong-un from North Korea and the mullahs from Iran, you need somebody who really understands military operation. And I think our commanders-in-chief should have some type of military experience, whether it's active duty or reserve something. And I have always believed that.
And do you think Ron DeSantis, just based on the fact that he was a Navy SEAL and a JAG officer, qualifies under that condition?
I think so.
Just barely qualifies? Just squeaks in there?
Plus being, you know, governor and all that. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a good man. Now, up in New York, Kathy Hochul loses. I'm picking Lee Zeldin.
Oh, absolutely, Lee Zeldin. I mean, there's no choice. I mean, she is totally delusional. She stands up before audiences and says crime is not bad in New York.
Well, and she
people
claims
people are getting pushed on the subway train, you know, in front of moving cars, but that's okay.
And she turns to Lee Zeldin, you know, and makes these wild claims, and he's got all the numbers. He's got all the numbers. She says, well, all you have to do is look at the statistics. Well, yeah, go ahead and look at the statistics, because they prove her wrong.
Right.
In a big way. It's not even close. You know, so that's going to be an interesting thing.
Yes.
Let's head out west. Carrie Lake in Arizona.
I hope so.
I think she's got that hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think she's going to win by a good margin down there. I don't think it's going to be that close.
And I also think I believe it begins with an M, but he's running against Gabby Gifford's husband.
Yeah, Blake Masters.
Pull it off.
Blake Masters.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he can pull it off.
Well, I think so too, because, you know, he's doing a great job out there in the campaign. He's highlighting really what Mark Kelly's record is. And it's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
You know, and Mark Kelly, when he's out there on the campaign trail, he's got no plan to fix anything. But here's what I like about Carrie Lake. She says day one, hour one, she's going to declare an invasion on the border.
Yes.
and that is huge.
That is huge. And everyone in Arizona needs to support her, because it's not just for Arizona's sake. It's for our country's sake.
It's a big, big deal. What do you think of Herschel Walker over there in Georgia? It's down in Georgia to me, up in Georgia to you.
It's a close race. Walker's ahead right now by a little bit. I hope he gets it. The other guy is just useless. You know, he's sort of Stacey Abrams light in the sense of he presents himself a little better than she does. But Stacey Abrams is getting her clock cleaned by
Kemp.
By Kemp. Yeah.
Kemp's got nothing to worry about right now.
No.
Well, no. And again, you know, when you look at these people like Stacey Abrams, and there are several others, but I'll just use her as the example right now, the more she talks, the worse it gets for her.
True.
You know, she says some of the dumbest things.
True.
And it's just, you know, it's unbelievable. Speaking of dumbest things, John Fetterman, Mehmet Oz.
Okay.
I think Oz takes that one. I do.
I think it's going to be close, but I think he will take it. Fetterman is sort of like a younger version of Joe Biden. He's seriously ill. He had a major stroke. He is not recovered from that stroke. You can tell by the debate that he gave. He really shouldn't be running. The only reason he's running is so he could be there a week and turn it over to his wife.
You know, the strangest part of that whole thing is right now he is the lieutenant governor.
Right.
You
right.
Know?
And that's not a good thing, folks. You need someone with their full mental capacities. And in a way, I think what Oprah actually did was hand the election to Oz.
Because
all these people respected Oprah all these years. And here it is, she's supporting someone who you can see is not in their full mental capacity. And she's supporting them strictly because it's a Democrat while she's stabbing a decade-long friend in the back. So I think she's actually helping Oz at this point.
Well, let's take Fetterman's, acuity out of it for a second. You know, and let's say he never had the stroke. His policies, everything that he stands for, everything that he runs for is contrary in a big way to the way the people of Pennsylvania feel. I mean, so even if he had his wits about him, he would be a horrible candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you talk about Oprah kind of handing the election to Dr. Oz. It's the same thing. Liz Cheney came out and endorsed Carrie Lake's opponent, thus handing it to Carrie Lake in Arizona.
Yeah. You got to realize, folks, these people that are doing the endorsements, I mean, you have Hillary back on the trail. You have her husband back on the trail who looks like a walking, you know, death man.
Careful.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. You've got all these former supposedly Democrat stars campaigning. They're all has-beens. We're tired of them. Even Obama is not drawing the audience that he used to. And there's a reason for that. Because of Martha's Vineyard.
He got the hell heckled out of him at an appearance a couple of nights ago.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that never used to happen to him.
No. No. He was, I believe, behind the getting the illegals out of Martha's Vineyard in less than 24 hours. Well, he showed not a very good side of himself, and
No. People
are not going to forget that.
J.D. Vance in Ohio. What do you think?
I think he might do it.
I think he will do it. I think he's a very strong campaigner. I think he's got good ideas. You know, here's kind of the thing. When you break it down, when you look at all these candidates that are doing well, there's two things that really stand out, okay? They're in touch with what the people want.
Well, they're talking about the issues.
Well, that always helps. Now you wouldn't know that it always helps if you ask the liberals, because they're staying away from the issues, and for good reason, because on every issue they've been on the wrong side of it, and that's why our country is in the dire straits it's in right now. They took the greatest economy on earth and destroyed it in under 2 years.
Yes. And then you have the delusional, supposed president out there saying, look at all I did. We're growing. Look how great our economy is. I mean, I'll give you an example, folks. I went into the grocery store today for three things, over $50. I placed my order for a Thanksgiving turkey. Craig, you're going to absolutely screech when you hear this.
Oh, I'm glad I'm sitting down.
A small turkey that would feed between, let's say, 7 and 10 people, $64.
Oh.
Turkey, folks.
That's horrific. Now, of course, part of that problem is bird flu. That killed a lot of turkeys. But the bigger problem is the inflation. You know, we can't transport these dang things. You know, there's a supply chain issue when it comes to transporting turkeys, the inflationary thing. And even when you can transport them, the price of diesel for the trucks and everything else, everything involved is costing more, so the price of the turkey costs more.
Right. Right. But it's to the point where people you see, like in the grocery store that you know they're Democrats. And when they're saying this is ridiculous, how could this be? These things were, I think there was a head of lettuce for, I believe, $2.89, a head of lettuce, folks.
It's lettuce. That's green water, basically. I mean,
yeah.
Lettuce is 90% water and 10% leaf.
I mean, this whole thing is insanity, really, what's going on. And most of the Democrats are not the AOC-type Democrats. You know, a majority of Democrats really think, you know, they believe in the Democrat philosophy and whatever. They're not as far to the right as, I mean, to the left, as the left tries to make every Democrat out. And even they're seeing it now.
Well, and this is something you and I have said since day one of the Biden regime. You know, these Democrats were all giddy and happy when Trump got beaten, Biden got in, right? Mm-hmm. And we told them, this is going to come back to bite you. I mean, if you think what, and we saw it coming, everybody saw it coming. We saw the inflation coming. We saw how the shutdowns were going to hurt everything, you know, on and on and on. We said, if you think those things are only going to affect conservatives, you're wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's coming back to bite them in spades now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, they got to buy their gas out of the same pump as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Everything that I buy and costing me more and I'm complaining about it, they got to pay the same price.
Yeah. Hey, the Publix, a guy who took my order today, and I looked at him, I said, you're lucky you guys get a discount. And he's looked at me real serious and said, guess what? We don't.
Oh, no. Oh, man. You know, I mean, it's going to get worse. And that's what all the economists are saying. And you can thank liberal policies for every bit of it. You know, how many of these Democrats running for office have been talking about the problem on the border? None. How many of them have been talking about skyrocketing crime? None. How many of them have been talking about inflation? None. And when right. you bring those things up, when those things are brought up in debates or interviews, they poo-poo it. It's no big deal. It's no big deal.
Exactly.
It's a big deal to everybody out here in America that's trying to scrape by.
Yep. And I don't care in what monetary bracket you are, folks, from the rich people down to you know, poor people. Everybody is hurting under Biden's policies.
You know, it's like almost three quarters of the country now is living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
And that's something the liberals have totally ignored. And you would have thought they would have learned their lesson. You know, if you go back to 2016, Hillary Clinton, she ignored the Bible Belt and the Midwest. Just ignored them.
Right.
I don't need them. I don't need to talk about issues that are important to those people. to those people, you know. Well, and look what happened to her. You would think the liberals would have learned something from that, but no.
They don't learn.
You know,
they just don't learn.
They've ignored every issue that's important to John and Jane Q. Public out here in America, and they think, you know, everybody is going to be more concerned about pronouns, more concerned about abortion, you know, and some of the silly woke nonsense. And by and large, and this crosses the aisle, by and large, that's not what people are upset about. That's not what's on the top of their minds. That's not right. What's keeping them from earning a living.
I know.
It's a remarkable situation, and they don't seem to want to give up on it.
No, they don't. They don't want to give up on it. They're just failing across the board, and where they're especially failing is on the issue, besides the economy, which is number one, the southern border. Even the Democrats have had it with the free-for-all at the southern border.
You talk to some of those Democrats down there that are controlling border towns in Texas and in Arizona. They've had it. They're done with that.
Mm-hmm.
They look at that situation down there and say, well, this is untenable. We cannot continue this way. They get it. They finally get it.
Yep. It took a long while. But they are getting it.
You know, and when they turn, when those border towns down there that you know, have liberal mayors and liberal councils and, you know, the whole area is bright blue, when they're looking at that and saying, this is a crisis and our own party has abandoned us, you know, that tells you a lot right there.
Well, let me ask you something. How do you think Nebraska's election is going to go?
Well, we're going to be red. I mean, there are pockets of liberalism in my state of Nebraska, Omaha and Lincoln primarily tend to vote liberal. But I think even there, you know, the diehard liberals who vote liberal, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, they'll vote, you know, they would vote for adding more water to the Titanic as it was sinking.
Okay, well, yeah, liberal mindset, right?
You know, but Nebraska will stay red. Our governor is going to be a Republican. He's a rhino, Jim Pillen. You know, but he's up against probably the worst example of a liberal in our unicameral. Carol Blood is her name, and she's going to lose big. So he'll win. You know, it's and our house will stay red. You know, we'll vote red. You know, along those lines. Ben Sasse is on his way to your great state.
We don't want him, but
you can have him. and to replace him, I can predict this. Just like you can predict what's going to happen with Ron DeSantis, I will predict this, and I know I'm right.
Okay.
Ben Sasse is going to announce his official retirement. He will leave the Senate in late December.
Okay.
Our current governor, Pete Ricketts, will defer and allow the new governor, his buddy, Jim Pillen, to name the replacement for Ben Sasse, and the replacement will be Pete Ricketts, our current governor.
Oh, dear.
So we're going to go from rhino to rhino in the Senate, but at least it'll still have an R by it.
Yeah, that's true. As long as it has an R by it, at least sometimes, like a broken clock, they will hit it right.
Yeah, twice a day, a broken clock, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what's going to happen here. We'll stay red. You know, we're still a red state. Even with pockets of blue, we're still a red state. All right, so Tuesday night, starting at 7 o'clock right here, from 7 until whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't put a time limit on it, because it might take till February or March. But starting at 7 o'clock, the Red Wave, our Right Side Patriots election night coverage, begins right here on RSPRadio1.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm stocking up on coffee because I'm going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a big night for Republicans. I think you're right, Diane, as far as the House is concerned. I see us maybe shifting the House by 30 seats, maybe a few more. Yeah,
I think more than 30 in the House.
Could be as high as 40. And I'm sticking with my 54-55 prediction for the Senate. I think we're going to have 54-55 seats.
And I'll go a couple under that. But I think whatever the number is, it's going to be enough where we've made ourselves Kamala-proof and Rhino-proof.
It's going to be an interesting night, folks. Tune in to Right Side Patriots. We'll get you there, I promise. But with that, yes, Diane, we've run out of time.
Okay. Nighty-night, folks.
Have a great night, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on election night. Bye-bye.